Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the poisoned needle right after this. The genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And now our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of other lesser policy-making think tanks to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. And I didn't stutter. That's correct. It's 90% over the next 50 years. That's why I contend that we ought not to delude ourselves any further into believing that we're going to stop these mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians in their insane scheme to enslave the entire world and to impose a worldwide tyranny, a new world order upon all of us. But you and I do not have to participate in our own demise. We don't have to help them. We don't have to finance them, nor do we need stand helplessly by and do nothing either. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and to stop following after all these crazy scientists, these philosophers and preachers and politicians, and let's you and I prepare to live through and survive this global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. All right, we're talking about vaccinations in a book called The Poison Needle. And the last hour, we talked about this thing of India and their experience. And when India's experience between about 1888 and 1940 was compared to Great Britain, the incidence of smallpox and typhoid, I believe it was, in India, because of two compulsory vaccinations, you had to have these two vaccinations, their incidence was anywhere from 200 to 1,000. That's double to 10 times higher than England, where they had stopped the vaccination process. So what we're finding out here from the statistical analysis of more than 100 years is that where we have compulsory vaccination, we have greater disease, which fits precisely with what we've been discussing here over the years concerning crime, pregnancy, and disease. Here's another example. When I was a youngster in 1950 through 1960, they told us that premarital pregnancy of young teenage girls in the public schools was a great problem. Now, in my graduating class at Eureka High School in 1957, I can tell you from personal observation that I only knew of one girl that left school because she was pregnant. That was Vivian Westerman. Now, no doubt there were some more. I don't know how many, because it was kind of a taboo and it was kind of kept secret. But it wasn't any kind of a big problem. I can tell you from personal observation, but we were told that it was. and that we needed a solution. And the solution was sex education in public school, which began in the early 1960s. So after I left high school, they started a new program. So, okay, we got to have sex education in public school, and that's going to solve the problem of premarital pregnancies in public school. Before sex education in public school was introduced in the United States, the rate of premarital pregnancy among the females was less than 1%. Today, as I speak, it's 10%. 10% of the graduating class of 2010 were pregnant. Well, 10% of the females were pregnant. Now, it's impossible to say that sex education in public school caused the increase from 1% to 10% over the last 50 years. And the reason it's impossible to prove that is because 90% of the females in the graduating class went through sex education and they didn't get pregnant. But we can be just as dogmatic when we say sex education in public school did not eradicate premarital pregnancy in the public school system. Now, that was their goal. They said they were going to eradicate it, and they didn't. And in fact, in the same period of time, it increased by 10 or 20 times. Another example, crime. We have always had premarital pregnancies, we have always had disease, and we've always had crime. And we would like to eliminate crime, pregnancy, or premarital pregnancy and disease. So the authorities come to us and they say, okay, here's the way we're going to eliminate crime. What we need is more money and more laws. You give us more money and more laws and more policemen, more resources, and we'll eliminate crime. If you take a look at crime over the last 100 years here in the United States, it's grown exponentially. So we go out and we pay more taxes and we create more laws. We got 2.5 million here in the United States. We have laws on top of laws on top of laws on top of laws. I'll bet you we got more laws in the United States than any other country in the world. And we're the most lawless country in the world. We have more people locked up in our prisons than anybody else in the world. Even the Russians and the Chinese do not have as many people per capita locked up in their jails, and we call those totalitarian regimes, for crying out loud. And we got more people locked up over here than anybody else in the world. So the crime has not been eradicated by spending more money and creating more laws. It has created more tyranny, a loss of our freedoms. And it has raised our taxes until it's bankrupted us, but it hasn't eradicated crime. Now, we can't say that spending this more money, and et cetera, has created all this crime. And that's because a lot of us aren't criminals. I didn't go out here and murder anybody. And I've been living under the same regime, you know, all of my life. But one thing we can say for certain, it did not accomplish the goal that they advertised. It has not eradicated crime. And now we're dealing with disease. And they came to us, you know, 150 years ago, and they said, hey, we're going to eradicate disease. And this vaccination is the exact opposite to the quarantine and mask laws of the Bible. Now, God told us how to eradicate crime. He told us how to eradicate premarital pregnancy, and He told us how to eradicate disease. And we have not followed that Ten Commandment regime. What we have adopted instead is the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And our crime is worse than it's ever been. Premarital pregnancy is worse than it's ever been. And disease is worse than it's ever been following these 10 planks. My conclusion is that following the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, even if you were to argue didn't cause the crime, pregnancy, or disease, it sure as hell didn't eradicate it. Now, God never told you that you could eradicate all crime or eradicate all premarital pregnancy or eradicate all disease. He never told you that. And He said you can lower it to the least common denominator if you'll practice this regime. And we say we're not going to do that. All right. If you're satisfied with the crime level, the premarital pregnancy level, and the disease level, stick with the program you've got. It's a proven winner. You've never had more disease, crime, and premarital pregnancy than you have today. If that's the goal, you win. Now, the secret societies win. That was their goal. That's what they wanted. That's what they've put into play. And by God, it's worked perfectly. And if you agree with them that that's what you want, stick with that program. Now, I'm not going to stop the crime wave. I'm not going to stop the premarital pregnancy. I'm not going to reduce crime. I'm not going to reduce premarital pregnancy. And I'm not going to reduce disease. I'm just going to report on it. But you can do all of the above. If you want to eliminate crime in your family, premarital pregnancy, and disease, there's a way to do that. If we'll go back to the Ten Commandment program, I'm pretty sure that that'll work. It won't eliminate it 100%, but it'll bring it down to a hell of a lot less than it is out there in society today. Now, with that out of the way, let me show you what the law required on quarantine. There's eight statutes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 7 statutes on quarantine. In Numbers 5, write this down, then you can go look it up. Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, and he said, You command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and every one that has an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and they put them out without the camp, as the Eternal spoke unto Moses, and so did the children of Israel. All right, now that's called quarantine. You know, if you wanted to use a word today, we'd call that quarantine. You separate the sick people from the well people. Now, we know from experience that you can walk into a room of 100 people. One person who walks into the room has the flu. He coughs and sneezes and snots all over. And he's going to infect a number of those people in the room. So we know the germ theory spreads the disease. But we also know that everybody who is come in contact with the disease is not going to get it. And if the guy hasn't been vaccinated or has been vaccinated, there's going to be a number of people, both vaccinated and unvaccinated, that aren't going to get the disease. And that's because their immune systems will ward it off. The purpose for quarantine is to protect the weak people, the old people and the very young, from this contagion because their immune systems are working at a lower level. And the people that have demonstrated and proven this are the Cubans. They have the lowest incidence in the world of HIV/AIDS, and they practice quarantine. In the United States, in the great flu epidemic, when we started wearing face masks, nationwide, everybody wore face masks, and we separated the sick, that is, quarantined, the Spanish flu dropped from its peak in 1918 to its demise about 1920. There wasn't any vaccine. Now, they were vaccinating people. And they were trying to stop the flu, but they never did quite get the vaccine. Now, we think that the flu got started with the vaccine in Camp Riley, Kansas. That's where most of the authorities believe it got started. It started from vaccine, but vaccine didn't stop it. Quarantine and face masks stopped it. Now, here's your face mask statute. Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. Okay, face mask. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and he shall cry, Unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Two things. You cover your mouth to prevent germs from infecting somebody else. And we separate you from everybody else, quarantine you, to prevent you from infecting others. The only people that need be concerned are the very young and the very old, or those that are weakened by some other event, and their immune systems are weak. Now, that's the Ten Commandment model. Now, we don't want to do that. There's no money in that. Doesn't cost anything to do that, or it's damn cheap. Now, there's four groups out here that want to sell this thing of vaccine. The secret societies, such as the Learned Elders of Zion, the Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, and others, they go out and they contact the pharmaceuticals and the medicine man, and they start promoting this with the press and the government. The government then comes in with the police power and enforces the law. They create laws and enforce them. The press comes out and propagandizes this. The pharmaceutical industry makes the vaccine. The medical industry distributes the vaccine. You and I pay for the vaccine. Then they tell us this is the solution to disease. Now remember, God told you the solution to disease was quarantine and a mask on your face to prevent the spread of disease. The medical man comes along and says, for $25, I'm gonna cure your disease. Now there's 35 shots, so let's take $25 a shot times 35. 25 times 35. Costs $875 per child. And we got 50 million children. Let's see if I can get that number. Times 50, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I hit the button, and it goes into overload. So it's in the billions of dollars a year. Hey, listen, if you're making billions of dollars a year selling snake venom, monkey pus, and vaccines, that's a hell of a neat program. And then, who is it that does the tests and it comes out here and does the surveys and then tells us, well, autism is not caused by vaccines. Wasn't it the pharmaceutical companies, the government, the press, and the doctors and the secret societies? Aren't they the ones that are telling us that, hey, the mercury in your vaccines does not cause autism? Isn't that the fox guarding the hen house? Don't you think that these five entities, the secret societies, the American Medical Association, the press, the government, and the pharmaceutical companies are in bed together? That's my report. That's what I'm telling you. All right. Now, we've decided that we're going to follow the 10-plank model with the government, pharmaceuticals, the press, medicine, and secret societies, and they tell us that they're going to give us disease-free. Now listen, here's God comes along now. In Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, he says, no, that ain't going to work. It isn't going to work. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's my agenda. In Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, number 4, disease epidemics. In the fourth seal, he says in verse 7, when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given over them unto the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. That with death is disease and plague. So there's going to be four big events here. Listen to this. The sword, that's war. Hunger, that's starvation. With death, that's disease and plague. And with the beasts of the earth. Now that's a punishment that the world gets, the entire world. Here at the end time, we're talking about this great tribulation. God says, I've got a bitch with all of you people down there, and I'm going to execute judgment now. And yes, we are indeed going to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. This is going to be the biggest killing field since Noah's flood. And in Matthew 24, sweet Jesus told you that. He said, if I don't come back and intervene, by the time this thing plays out, there isn't going to be any flesh saved alive. Now, the good news is that for the elect's sake, he's going to come back and cut this short. Bad news is he ain't cutting it short until 90% of us are dead. All right, so statistically then, your chances of surviving this are going to be about 1 in 10. Now, if you're running around out there with your 35 shots, you have so weakened your immune system by those 35 shots, which probably weren't your fault, but, you know, I'm just here to report. We don't know whether you're going to survive this or not. When these disease epidemics get cranking over here, boys and girls, one-fourth, now just picture this, you've got 7 billion people in the world, it's rounded off to 6. One-fourth of 6 billion people now is 1.5 billion people. We have never lived in an age or seen or even heard of or thought about 1.5 billion people dying. That's biblical proportions. And then here's the guy that says it. Now, I'm a reporter. See, I'm not a preacher. I'm not coming here saying, give your heart to Jesus and see if you can save your hiney. I don't know if you can save your hiney or not. I just wanted to give you a report. The preachers aren't giving you this report. They're telling you, you know, just give your heart to Jesus and your pocketbook to the preacher, and he's going to rapture you off and everything's going to be fine. Then your president comes along and says, hey, you don't need to worry about depression over here. The mere fact that there's a 22.8% unemployment rate, don't worry about that. There's green shoots everywhere. Just keep paying your taxes and go to work if you've got work to go to. No, boys and girls, the recession at this moment in time as I speak isn't a recession, it's a depression. In 1933, we reached the bottom and the unemployment rate hit 25%. It's 22.8% today, as I speak. Now, that's not green shoots. Now you're going into the second dip of your recession. You got that? Second dip's coming up. The unemployment rate is going to peak out at something over 25%. Now, I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you where it's going. But in Argentina, they just went through this in 2002, 3, and 4, and it hit 62%. And today, as I speak, one person, I took a survey the other day. I picked this up, came across my desk. They took a survey around the country. 28% of homes, families, have at least one member in the family looking for work. Now, some of those 28% have two members of the family looking for work, but at least one. Now, look, that's 28%, and we haven't reached the bottom yet. We have not seen the collapse of commercial real estate. We're not at the end of the collapse of the housing real estate. We're not at the bottom of unemployment. I mean, come on, guys, wake up. Now, a recession is where your neighbor's unemployed. A depression, that's when you're unemployed. And, you know, wake up now, you recession buffs out there, because depression's coming. Now, we've got a couple of aces up our sleeve. I'll give you that as we progress along here. There is something that you and I can do. We can avoid this disease, you know. There's 19 health laws, and I'm going to lay those 19 health laws out here at the end. And suggest, not tell you, just going to tell you, well, here's where the information is. And your Creator told you. He said, now quarantine, masks on your face, I got 19 health laws. You practice those, and you'll have good health. We got a contract with Him that spells out the terms and conditions of the contract. And He said, now the reciprocity on this deal is you practice My law, and I'll give you these benefits. And health is one of those 33 benefits. Now, I'm not trying to get you to change your church. You don't have to quit the Catholic Church now to practice these 19 health laws. You don't have to turn your back on Mormonism to practice quarantine or put a mask on your face, you know, in the face of a plague. You know, you don't have to quit going to synagogue. We're not talking about race or religion. You know, you could be a Jew, you can be a Protestant, you can be a Muslim, and you can all receive the benefits of these practices. The Cubans, children, listen, the Cubans are a bunch of damn communists, and they practice quarantine, and it pays off in the area of HIV/AIDS. I don't know what they're doing about the rest of their diseases down there. Maybe they're practicing quarantine, maybe not, I don't know. And I'm amazed. You know, here we the Americans over here, the champions of health and health care, and got the best medical program in the world. You'd think that we'd wake up. We're the guys that invented this in the 1890s. We're the guys that eradicated contagious disease in America and exported that all around the world. Now we've gone back to practicing these ancient, old-timey, crazy witch doctor practices, and we've given up on quarantine masks, and we've gone off into this sticking snake venom and monkey pus and horse urine and stuff like that into our veins. Now, honest to God, do you believe that snake venom, monkey pus, and horse urine injected into your body makes any sense? I mean, we laugh, you know, when we look at ancient peoples in times past, you know, and they used to have remedies, and they would take, you know, alligator dung, or they would take a turtle tongues, and they would make potions out of it, you know. And we say, hey, these people are lunatics. And here today, we're taking excrement and shooting it into us, and we're calling this enlightened. Really? Now, here's the world's worst record. It was in Mexico. Although India was reported by the League of Nations as the greatest center of smallpox in the world in 1929, it has improved since gaining its freedom from Britain and relaxing its vaccination enforcement program. So this leaves the over-vaccinated country of Mexico holding the dubious honor as the world's worst smallpox center. The following chart shows the comparison between Mexico with its sparse population of 16,500,000 in 1930, and British India with its dense, congested population of 300 million in 1930. Now, in spite of the disease breeding conditions of India's cities with inadequate sanitation, inadequate nutrition, and inadequate housing facilities, and the polluted water, lack of sewers, extreme heat, the smallpox death rate in India is far lower than that of completely vaccinated Mexico. The smallpox deaths and the death rates per population in Mexico versus British India. 1922, Mexico, 11,966 deaths. British India, 40,836. Death rate, 169. Death rate, 844. So out of 100,000 people, they got the death rate is 844 per 100,000. In India, the death rate is 169 per 100,000. Now, what causes this kind of disparagement? It's obvious that less vaccination in a dirtier country with poorer nutrition, with poorer health standards, vastly overpopulated, more densely congested. And in Mexico, they said everybody gets vaccinated, like it or lump it. Well, that was in 1922. 1932, the Mexican death rate was 8,307. 31, 14,000. 1930, 17,000. 1929, 11,000. But what counts, remember, the population of Mexico is 16 million, the population of India was 300 million. It's the rate per 100,000. So watch this. The death rate, 844 in Mexico, 169 in India. At the peak, the death rate in Mexico, 1,053 in 1930. In India, it's 140. The less vaccination you have, the less smallpox you have. Now watch this. The less vaccination, the less disease. Does that tell us then that the vaccination is causing the disease? And the answer to that is yes, it does. And you want to know why I know that? Because in the United States last year, we had 69 cases of polio. All 69 cases came from the polio vaccine. Now, if polio has been eradicated, then why don't we stop giving the vaccine? Well, because it costs 25 times 50 million. So let's go with 50. 1, 2, 3. Times 25. That's 25 times 50 million. Let me do this again. 50. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Times 25 is a billion, 1,2,3,6,9. Yeah, that's $1,250,000,000. The polio vaccine in the United States makes $1,250,000,000 a year. Now, with smallpox eradicated, see, they used to vaccinate everybody for smallpox and they quit. So every one of these vaccines, and there's 35 of them, makes $1,250,000,000. That's $1.25 billion a year. And if you eradicate that, if you stop giving it, well, then you lose that. Now, 69 people last year died from polio. I don't know how many people got polio. But it's not a big deal here in the United States, but this $1,250,000,000 is a pretty good size chunk of change. And they got 35 of those, and they're moving those up to 50. Now, at some point in time, Americans are going to be so weakened by all this vaccine, their immune systems are going to be so weakened, that when they unleash these diseases upon us, and one of these years, you know, they're going to unleash this, some kind of a strain of flu, and it's going to go through us like a dose of salts. Now, the last time we had good statistical and historical information on this, when the white man came to North and South America, we brought with us smallpox, and it decimated the Indian native populations. That's what killed off. There was 16 million, they figured, 16 million Indians here in the Americas. By 1890, the population of the Indians had dropped to 1 million. We'd killed 15 out of every 16 native inhabitants in about 400 years, and most of that was done by smallpox. In fact, here in the United States, we only killed 40,000 in war. We only shot 40,000 of you Indians. All the rest of you died from disease. Now, can you imagine what's going to happen to the world's population, which has now been vaccinated for the last 100 years, in the last 50, really intensely? Can you imagine what's going to happen when these disease epidemics get turned loose on us? All right, I'll let you imagine what's going to happen to you, and then I'm going to tell you what the mid-course government officials tell us that we have to inform you of to satisfy the Federal Communications Commission and all of these commissions around the world. We have to tell you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we are sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one, and you can have it free. Just call us and ask for it. And the number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you don't want to call us, and you'd like to have one, and you're online, you go to georgegordon.org, click on to the archives page, and you can download it right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the poison needle. Let me tell you where you can probably get a copy of it. The poison needle is written by a lady named Eleanor McBean, 1974. And you might take this information down. It's called Health Research, P.O. Box 70, and the city is MOKELUMNE Hill, H-I-L-L, California. I know, that's an odd name. I never heard of such a place. And I'm from California, but evidently it's some place called MOKELUMNE HILL. Mokelumne Hill, California, 95245. Now, you just need two things here. The Poison Needle is the title. Eleanor McBean is the author. And if you would plug that in to bravenewbookstore.com and get on their webpage, see if they've got it. And if they don't, call them on the telephone, talk to them. It's 512-480-2503. 512-480-2503. Go to a health food store and then tell them in the health food store you'd like to get a copy. They might have it on their charts. That's where it came from, was a health food store. Or go to a used bookstore that's plugged into the internet. There's 450,000 bookstores worldwide. 450,000. Nearly half a million. And those bookstores put all of their inventory online. So if there's a bookstore in South Africa where I found a book one time, they're online with their whole inventory. So the bookstore that I went to here in Springfield, they plugged that in and they said, oh, look at this. Here's a copy of it down in South Africa and here's the price of it and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, call them and order it. And so they'll get on their email and they'll email them an order, you know. And they'll collect the money up here and then they will pay the guy down in South Africa. They got some kind of a payment program. I paid the guy right here at the local bookstore. And he got that book in for me. It took him about, I don't know, a month, 2 weeks or a month. And I got another book one time over in Long Beach, California. I was amazed at the service and amazed at the system. Okay, Eleanor McBean is the author. The Poison Needle is what you're looking for. All right, now let's take a look at Italy. Over in Italy, Dr. Charles Ruta, the professor of Materia Medica at Perugia University, P-A-R-U-G-I-A. I don't mean to offend all you Italians over there, but, you know, it's your language. Perugia University, Italy, presents some interesting figures comparing the smallpox deaths of the vaccinated soldiers with the women and boys outside the armed services. Now, that's what I suggested the other day. I said, look, let's take a look at the people with autism. That's all you got to do. Just take a look at the people with autism. And then ask this question. Of all of you autism victims, how many of you have been vaccinated? And my guess is going to be this. My guess is that every one of you autism victims have been vaccinated. Now, if you would go outside the system to people that are not vaccinated and then ask the question, well, how many of you have autism? And my suggestion would be go around the world and find some groups of people, Eskimos in Canada or Indians in the Amazon or tribes in the Aituri rainforest or wherever you can go in the world, you know, Bhutan or Africa or Mongolia. And find some people that don't practice vaccination. And then take a look at their children and ask the question, take a look at how many of them have autism. Can anything be simpler than that? Now, if the autism rate in Mongolia among unvaccinated people is as high as it is everywhere else in the world, well then, why don't you take a look at the vaccination rate here in the United States and compare that with other nations? And other nations will have a lower vaccination rate. Is their autism rate lower than ours? See, that would be another clue, wouldn't it? I find it hard to believe that we can't figure out what is causing this and then prove whether or not it's vaccination. Now, the people that are doing these studies are the pharmaceutical industries coupled with the government, the press, and medicine, and the secret societies. Now, that's like going into a casino, you know. You can predict that you're going to lose money putting your money in the slot machine because it was the casino that set the slot machine to pay back 35% or 65% or whatever its payoff is. I mean, that's a fixed game. That's rigged. The odds are against you. Now, the other side of the coin is the people that are studying this that are outside the medical industry, they say it's the thimerosal in the vaccines. And from what I can read and tell, that's exactly what I'm thinking. So I said the other day, now listen, if you have a child with autism that did not get vaccinated, send me an email and let me know, would you? And then I'll put it on the air. I'll say, hey, I got five emails in here from five people that have five children with autism, and they say they did not vaccinate their children. That's a big step in the right direction for supporting the secret societies, medicine, press, government, pharmaceuticals. I think you're gonna go a long ways. I don't think you're gonna find that. That's just my personal opinion. And I do that because over here in Italy, they tested that very same formula. See, I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. I'm just a reporter. So over in Italy, they wanted to test this. So the guys in the army all got their vaccines, but the people on the outside didn't. So they went to the unvaccinated people on the outside, compared them with the vaccinated people on the inside. And they found out that the vaccination is stressed in that country, which accounts for the high smallpox rate among all ages, but more thoroughly enforced in the Army. The boys are inducted at the age of 20 years, and the figures show the death rate from smallpox is twice as high among men over 20, soldiers, as among women of the same age. Isn't that special? Twice as high. Well, you get twice as many people vaccinated. Now, to a dumb old hillbilly like me, that says to me that the more vaccination you get over here, the greater your chances of getting sick or getting the disease. And that's what this book bears out, and that's what the statistical analysis from, I don't know how many countries she's got in here. Now, I'm not going to tell you there's 20 or 30, but there's a bunch. Now, I showed you India, now Great Britain. We went to Mexico. And now we're going to Italy. And then we'll take a look at the Egyptians are in here someplace. I remember they had a little section in here on Egyptians. and so on. And I'm not going to cover all the countries. I don't have that much time. We'd be spending, you know, the whole semester here on just looking at comparing the death rates and the sick rates from country to country. But bear it in mind, every single country has exactly the same statistical evidence that the more vaccination you have, the more disease, the more death. And when you stop the vaccinations, the disease slows down and the death rate drops. Isn't that special? Now, that's been the experience over the last 100 years. Now, that doesn't stop people because, see, now all of you young people today listening to me right now, you went to college, you know, maybe you're a nurse, you know, maybe you're a doctor, hell yeah. You've been educated, and you've been told a story, and you believe it, didn't have any reason not to. And then you have not researched these statistics that went back when we first started this program, and that it failed, and we quit. And then we waited 20 years until a new generation came along, and then we reintroduced it, and we sold it better. And we're still selling it, and it's still working like a shot, and it's making more and more people sick, and it's making more money than it's ever made in history. Now, the number one reason for doing this is to kill 90% of the people on planet Earth. That's the overall agenda. And in the process, we want to make as much money as possible. We have achieved both of those objectives at this moment in time. We are killing people at the highest rate ever. We are weakening their immune systems and setting them up for the greatest plague that the world has ever known. And we have never made more money doing this in the history of the world. We have achieved every one of our protocols. All right, going on here. All persons are obligated to have themselves revaccinated at least once every 5 years. And may be required to do so more frequently whenever the health authorities so determine. Not special. Now, Dr. Ruta traced the records for many years following the published record, and results continued with the same high death rate among the completely vaccinated soldiers and with the lower death rate among the rest of the population. Now, although England was the first country to adopt compulsory vaccination laws, the people of England soon found that it was a disastrous practice and fought to have the law abolished. About the time of the First World War, the English people had succeeded enough in resisting the law to notice a considerable decrease in smallpox, aided, of course, by the sanitation program. Germany and Italy were still trying to enforce vaccination on the entire population of their countries. And the following chart shows a comparison of the smallpox deaths of these three countries. So here's England and Wales, Germany and Italy. And so let me read across the top. 1918, England had 2 deaths, Germany had 60, and then Italy had 926. In 1919, England had 28 deaths, Germany had 704, and Italy had 16,580. In 1920, England had 30 deaths, Germany had 332, and Italy had 11,037. The vaccination rates in England were the lowest, Germany was in the middle, and Italy had the highest. The death rate per million in Italy was 25, the death rate per million in Germany was 1, and the death rate per million in England was 0 in 1918. In 1919, the death rate per million was less than 1, 0.76 in England, 11 per million in Germany, and 454 in Italy. Now remember, Italy's got the highest vaccination rate. We would expect then, under the protocols, under the regime, they tell us the purpose for getting these vaccinations is to protect you. It's to keep you from getting the disease. It's to prevent you from spreading the disease to somebody else. My God, boys and girls, that's what we all want. That's what we all want to hear. And that's what they're telling us. But then when we actually go to the statistics and look it up, which nobody ever does, not until Eleanor McBean came along and said, well, gee, let's look and see what the record shows us. And she did. And she went to a bunch of countries here. I'm going to guess about 30. I didn't count them, but I'm just guessing. She didn't go to all of them, but she went to, you know, a bunch of big countries. You know, England, Wales, Germany, Italy, Mexico, India, Italy, Egypt, and a bunch more, and discovered that every single one of these countries has exactly the same story to tell. The more vaccination, the more death, the more sickness. Then when the people get tired of it and they repealed the laws, well, then the death rate went down and the sickness rate went down. Isn't that special? Now, the League of Nations monthly health report for October 15, 1929, gives a report on Egypt with an effort toward justifying the reoccurring smallpox epidemics in spite of the compulsory vaccination laws. However, the whitewash doesn't cover the inefficiency of this useless practice, and the report states, in Egypt, vaccination is compulsory under the decree of 1890. Penalties are provided for infringements. It's not been found possible as yet to enforce vaccination everywhere, and smallpox continues to claim a fair number of victims every year. The last great epidemic broke out in 1919, and it extended into 1920. More than 5.5 million people were vaccinated during these 2 years, and this completely arrested the spread of the epidemic. In 1921, the number of cases had gone down to 92 as compared with 7,895 in 1919 and 3,000 in 1920. The epidemic wore itself out in 2 years, and the vaccinators claimed that it was the serum that arrested it. Well, now, if vaccination could arrest an epidemic at all, it should certainly do it in less than 2 years. If there had been no vaccination at all, there would have been a much lower smallpox rate, as is proved by world records where the facts are not falsified. Now, the fact that there was less smallpox the following year was not proof that vaccination curbed it. Isn't it quite logical that all of those who were in a condition to develop smallpox did so during the long 2 year epidemic, so there would not be many to contract it the following year? Now, the following report put out by the League of Nations Health Department is a typical example of how the medical scheme and schemers influence the average unthinking person with data that appears to be true and convincing. In Northern Africa, as vaccination progresses, the most remarkable success is being achieved in Egypt, which in 1926 had 2,677 cases with 544 deaths. But in 1930, smallpox caused only 14 cases without any deaths. This is undoubtedly due to the vaccination campaign begun at the end of 1925 and completed in 1926. Approximately 14,600,000 vaccinations were performed, thus reaching practically the whole population. Okay, now there's your propaganda. Here we have a number of statements that are hard to reconcile with known facts. For instance, number one, in June of 1925, the population of Egypt was estimated to be 13,964,900. And yet the report said that they gave 14,660,000 vaccinations. Since there were more vaccinations reported than people, either the figures are fabricated or the vaccinators didn't really believe in vaccination and knew it would not protect for even 1 year, so they revaccinated thousands of more people with the vain hope that the repetition of failure would in some way reap success. Number two. In the first report, they blamed the frequent outbreaks of smallpox on the claim that it was impossible to enforce vaccination on all of the people. And yet their figures in the second record showed the number of vaccinations actually exceeded the entire population. Number three. The first report stated that their widespread vaccination campaign in 1920, which reached 5.5 million people, had completely arrested smallpox, and the following report of 1931 made it clear that the complete and thorough vaccination campaign succeeded in conquering smallpox, even to the point where there were no deaths at all from that cause. This type of propaganda has a tendency to lull the people into a sense of false security, which leaves the real cause of the disease unchecked. So let's follow the record a little further and see what really happened. The 5.5 million vaccinations in 1920 were supposed to have brought smallpox under control, yet in 1926, just 6 years later, the second report tells of a sweeping smallpox epidemic in which 2,677 were stricken and 544 died. What happened? And in spite of the 5.5 million vaccinations in 1920 and the 14,600,000 vaccinations in 1926, and all the vaccinations in the intervening years, including the compulsory vaccinations of all the infants, there occurred another larger and more terrible smallpox epidemic in 1932, only 6 years after the alleged complete control of smallpox in Egypt. This sweeping epidemic continued for 2 years, aggravated, of course, by the meddling vaccinators, and by the end of 1934, there were 7,650 cases that had been reported, of which there were 1,373 dead. Now, where is all of this remarkable success of vaccination boasted by the medical faction of the League of Nations? You know, these figures speak for themselves and eloquently proclaim the total futility of vaccination as a preventative or as a mitigant of smallpox. Now, that's cited from Swan in the Vaccination Problem, page 291. You know, you don't have to be a genius, and you don't even have to be real smart, but your IQ needs to be a little bit above the speed limit. I'm saying, you know, 80, 90, something like that. I mean, hell, any of you people out there can read this. I'm not the only genius in the room, you know. I don't know what my IQ is, but, you know, whatever average is, I wouldn't claim any more than average. I'm just Joe Sixpack. But I deny that I'm brain dead. I deny that. And I think anybody with a half a brain can take a look at this and say, hey, wait a minute. These guys are lying to us. These statistics, you know, when they were gathering these, they were just collecting numbers and putting them on the record books. These are what the death certificates say. This guy died from smallpox. Hey, here's what the records are. Here's the story. Now, they're out here telling us that they vaccinated more than 100% of the population, and still they had an epidemic 2 years later. Come on, guys. Wake up and smell the coffee. All right, we're out of time. I got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening or have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.